Today with Joseph Prince.
Under law, God said, I'll by no means pass by your sins, but I'll visit your sins to the third and fourth generation. That's what God said under the law. But under grace, God says, I'll remember your sins no more. So there's been a change. The law says, do, do, do. Grace says, done. At the cross, one of the last words of Jesus is, finished. Finished. Done. What is finished? Man's sin is forgiven. All of God's holy requirements fulfilled on our behalf. The law magnified and fulfilled. Amen. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. One of my favorite, if not my favorite verse, because this marks my ministry, is a ministry of differentiating for people law and grace. Even among Christians, among believers, we still have an erroneous idea that God demands from us. God demands from us. You know, when you worship God and you feel like God is stern, God is angry. I remember years ago, I was praying and I was praying and I tried to imagine, because He is my Heavenly Father, right? God is my Father. I imagined to myself an old man with white beard, white hair. And then I was just praying and then God stopped me. And He says, why do you see me like this? I said, like what? Like an old man. I said that because you are Father. And my father at that time had, you know, white hair already. And he says, son, up here in heaven, nobody is old. Growing old is because of sin. Man began to age. His body gets weaker. Gray hairs come out. And then they die. It's because of sin. The wages of sin is death. But God says, up here, we are all forever young. I literally heard that we are up here, we are forever young. And I begin to see a God who is dynamic, a God who is young. And you know what? If you live in Him, you'll be forever young. Just like the old hymn says, forever young, I wanna be forever young. You know that old church hymn? Do you really wanna live forever, forever? Anybody? You can live forever and you can live forever young. Today, amen, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Eternal life is living forever with a quality of life, because, you know, those who end up in hell, they also live forever. When you think about it, it's still life, right? Forever, but it's not eternal life. Eternal life is the life of God, the life that God lives by, that uncreated, that disease-free, that ageless life, that eternal life, the quality of life becomes yours through Jesus Christ. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All of us have sinned. We sin because the Bible says we sin because we are sinners. We don't become sinners because we sin. All of us, when we were born into this world, we were born in sin. Say, Pastor Prince, that's not fair. You see, if you think about it, our lives are intricately linked with our father, our grandfather, and on and on. You say that, yeah, but if you're saying I received my sin from him, yes, God has designed it in such a way that our lives are linked. Think about it. If your grandfather died when he was 5 years old, you wouldn't be here today. Think for a while. Amen? If your grandfather didn't exist, you wouldn't be here. Yeah. Our lives are linked. So when the first man, Adam and Eve, God gave them a choice. In fact, God is so generous. Always remember, God is not holding back on you. Amen. God will give you everything. And in fact, God always gives more than enough. And when the first Adam and Eve, when God first made the first man and woman, God put them in a beautiful place called Eden. Amen. Men tried to paint it and try to illustrate it. No one can picture Eden. It is everything that's beautiful to the eyes. Everything that is good to eat. Amen. And then in the middle of the garden, God put the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And God told man, do not eat from one tree. Now that means God says, eat freely from every tree. You see the generosity of God? But don't eat from one tree. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. Now, why did God do that? And why was the tree there? You might ask, Pastor Prince, might as well don't put a tree there, right? But you see, if God made man not like a robot, God can make man like a robot. Worship me, obey me. And today the world will be functioning perfectly. But then is that what God wants, a robot to love him? No, God made man, the Bible says, let us make man in our image. Man is made in God's image. And God gave man something called free choice. So to exercise that free choice, you cannot just give someone with free choice everything good. And then you say, you know something else? I give you free choice. But everything that he chooses is good. There is no demonstration or exercise of that free choice. So God put one tree down there and God says, don't eat from that tree. The day you eat of it, you will surely die. And you know what happened? Man chose that tree. Now, when you choose the tree, when you choose sin, you choose to disobey God, you cannot have your cake and eat it. The wages, we call wages salary, right? Penalty of sin is death. And not just death physically, but death eternally. But when man took from that tree, God knew that man is cut off from him. You cannot just say, well, Pastor Prince, if men took from the tree and you know, boys will be boys, why not God just sweep everything under the carpet? If God did that, yeah, he's a God of love, but he's not a righteous God. If there are no laws and orders in this universe will collapse. If the judge says, you know what, I know you murdered three ladies and all that, no problem, you know what? You had a bad childhood. Boys will be boys, never mind. Acquitted. Then, you know what? He's not a righteous judge. We cannot respect a judge like that. So God is holy, righteous, but God is love. God loves you. Do you know something? Today we celebrate Resurrection Day. Jesus rose from the dead. He conquered death for you and I. But do you know that God never meant for man to die? It is not in God's heart. In fact, God counts death as an enemy. That's why people cry at funerals. Deep down in our hearts, we know. Even Jesus wept at Lazarus' funeral, right? Jesus wept because he knew that this is not his Father's plan for man in the very beginning. Death is foreign to us. We don't want to grow old. We don't want to have sickness. That's why we go to the doctor. And we don't want to die. It is inherent in every man. But every time you pass by a funeral, you know, a service that's going on somewhere under the void deck here in Singapore, right? It reminds you again, people don't like to talk about death. They don't like to talk about funerals and all that. But I want you to know something. Death has been conquered by Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we celebrate resurrection. He didn't rise up spiritually. He rose up bodily. Amen. And you know why he rose up bodily? Because our sins have been put away. Yeah. Sin is the problem that separates man from God. Just like if you love someone that you love very much, your child or whatever, and the child has cancer, and the cancer is in the child, you don't love the cancer, but the cancer is in the child. But you hate the cancer, you love your child. God hates sin, but God loves you. Amen. Amen. Sin is destroying everything beautiful that God has for you. Amen. The good life. And we see it all the time. Even celebrities are taking their lives now. You thought that if they become famous, they become wealthy, everybody, you know, and there are millions of people tuning into their social media and all that, large following, but then they take their life. You wonder to yourself, well, if I have fame and fortune, I won't be doing that. Are you sure? Maybe there's not everything to life. Jesus himself says, what shall it profit a man? He gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul. Wow, amen. Amen. So you, how much do you hate the cancer in your child? The same amount that you love your child. If you love your child a lot, you will hate that disease a lot. You say, why does God hate sin so much? Because God loves you very much. Can I have a good amen? So there had to be a solution. God can just say, you know what? I'm done with Adam and Eve. I'm done with all the generations that will come up from them. You know what? I'll make a new creation. After all, I've made angels. I'm not referring to our church. Amen? I've made angels. I'll make a new creation. Amen? I'll just wipe them out. God could have done that. Amen? And today, people won't use the breath that God gives them to blaspheme Him, to speak against Him. Resolve. Amen? I mean, I'm glad I'm not God. So we know in our hearts that, you know, we pass by a cemetery. No one likes to pass by a cemetery. Am I right? We still have cemeteries here in Singapore, right? Yep. Right? Nobody likes to go down there for a date or a picnic. One time a pastor was at a cemetery and he heard crying. So he looked around for that, the direction. Then he saw a man holding a tombstone, crying, sobbing, body-wracking sobbing. You know, and he went over and says, sir, I'm a pastor. Can I pray for you? He was crying. And he says, someone you love? He was, by the way, he was saying, don't leave. Why did you leave? Why did you leave? And the pastor says, someone you love? He says, no, my wife's first husband. Okay, anyway. The point is, no one likes to be in a cemetery, okay? I'm in trouble with my wife now. My wife don't have a first husband, okay? This is the first husband and the last woman, amen? It better be the last. I don't think she can ever have anybody else once she's had. Amen. So God ordained a system. God could have wiped out men, but God ordained a system by which that God can be righteous in forgiving man of his sin and treat man like righteous. All right, the system is called, even though we say the law was given by Moses, Moses is a servant, not the son of God. In a house, a servant don't have the standing with a father that a son does. Jesus is the son. The law, the Ten Commandments, was given through a servant. But grace and truth came through the Son, Jesus Christ. The law was given. I can give something from a distance. I can send through, now this, Amazon. Amen. Free advertisement again, as if he needs it, Mr. Bezos. And we can give from a distance, but if I come to your place personally, if I come, that's personal. That's getting real close. Well, the law was given. When God gave the law, God says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not murder. All that, right? God spoke from a mountain and through an intermediary, the Bible says, through angels. And the mountain was veiled in dark clouds. And there was an earthquake and there was lightnings and the sound of voices. And even the Bible says the best of them, of all Israel, Moses says, I exceedingly fear and I was trembling. Not just fearing and trembling, but exceedingly, he said. He was trembling. And the Bible says, from in that kind of atmosphere, God gave the Ten Commandments. So that's the law. But we are not under the law now. We are under grace. Amen. The law demands grace that came through Jesus Christ. True grace. This grace and truth is true grace supplies. The law demands, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Grace says, here, receive the supply. And the law, God demands righteousness from sinful men. Then man says, I can't, I try to be righteous, I cannot. Amen? But under grace, God says, take the gift of righteousness. It's only to be received. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. That's why the first miracle, public miracle of Moses was to turn water into blood, resulting in death. Remember when he struck the river Nile? The first miracle of Jesus, the first miracle of grace, is to turn water into wine, resulting in celebration. Remember the story, the wedding, they ran out of wine? He can do the same in your marriage. He can turn what is simple and bland like water into intoxicating wine. Amen? Praise God. Under law, God said, I'll by no means pass by your sins, but I'll visit your sins to the third and fourth generation. That's what God said under the law. But under grace, God says, I'll remember your sins no more. Amen. So there's been a change. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anyone can see there's been a change. The law says, do, do, do. Grace says, done. Come on. At the cross, one of the last words of Jesus is, finished. Amen. Finished. Done. What is finished? Man's sin is forgiven. All of God's holy requirements fulfilled on our behalf. The law magnified and fulfilled. Amen. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. When God gave the Ten Commandments, God knew man would sin. And man says, all that God says, we can keep. Wow. Sounds very noble. Sounds very solid. But you know something? That is confidence in your flesh. And God knew, that's the reason why God gave man the Ten Commandments. God knew if there's no Ten Commandments, if I say you're a sinner, you say, what's a sinner? But if God gave the Ten Commandments, even the best of us will fail. And Jesus came and Jesus showed man, that's what Moses meant when he says, it's not just committing adultery. Thou shalt not commit adultery. It's not just committing adultery, like going bodily with your person who's not your partner, who's not your life partner, he's not your wife, not your husband, bodily. It's not just bodily doing it. It is even when you lust for someone in your heart, that's adultery, Jesus said. Murder is not just taking a knife and plunging into someone's heart physically. Murder is hating someone in your heart, even though the person is still alive. Why did Jesus say all that? To bring all of us to the end of ourselves so that we see our need for Him, the Savior. Amen. But man is so proud that man would not want to, you know, I'm a self-made man. I'm this. Listen, my friend, 100 years from now, speaking naturally, not a single person under this room will still be alive. Death is total. Amen. Like I said, God never meant for man to die. It's not His dream for man to grow old even. Right? But men are growing old. Amen. They grow old, they become decrepit, and they die. Is this God's dream for man? No. Sin came in. That's what I'm saying. Sin mars, sin defiles, sin destroys. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. It's like cancer. Don't mess with sin. Amen. Amen. Get Jesus in your life. Praise the Lord. What did Jesus do? So in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, there was a tabernacle, like a small temple, where God used this illustration to help man understand. And for this, I need some volunteers real fast. Come on. I need my lamb and I need my priest. Okay? Pastor, wow, so fast, Rudy. Okay. I think you'll be on this position. Okay? Now, I'll be the sinner. I'll be all of you. You and you are represented here in me. Okay? This is me. This is you. Yes. Okay. This is the high priest. This is the priest of Israel. So in the Old Testament, when you read the Old Testament, you find there's a priest in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ today is our high priest. All right. But in the Old Testament, God uses this for visual aid. Amen. It is illustration of what is to come. These are shadows. What Jesus did at the cross is the substance. Amen. So every time someone sins, he will bring his lamb. Follow me, lamb. This is a black lamb, by the way. Okay. All right. Say something, ba, 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 whatever. Ba, ba. Okay. Are you from Pranakan family? Okay. Anyway, come. Follow me. All right. So this is the sheep, all right? And I bring my sheep to the priest in the temple. Okay. Now, I bring my priest, my sheep to the temple. Amen. All right. So look at him. Look at him. The priest does not look at me. I sin. The reason I bring the lamb is my sacrificial lamb. I sin. You and I have sin. This priest represents God. So his eyes right now are like the eyes of God, representing God, looking for blemishes, looking for sins, looking for what is not holy. Amen? Notice he doesn't check me out. He doesn't look at me. Notice that? When I bring my lamb, he doesn't look at me. It's redundant to look at me. Why? It will serve no purpose. It's very obvious why I am there. Why am I here? I have sinned. So no point examining me. The reason I'm saying this is because a lot of people, when they come to God, they think God is examining them. Okay, watch this now. So I bring my lamb here to the priest, and the priest checks the lamb for any blemishes. It must be without blemish. Why? Because it represents Jesus Christ. Jesus is sinless. Amen. No sin, no imperfection, no blemishes. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I believe that Jesus is the most good-looking person that ever walked on this earth. He cannot grow old. Amen. Because, you know, there's no blemish in him. There's no imperfection. His whole body, actually, given by Mary, but there's no sin in his body. So there cannot be anything that defiles. So I believe Jesus is the most good-looking. Amen. The Bible says in the Song of Songs, he's the most attractive of 10,000s, an expression of the most attractive of all. Amen. So praise God. So he looks for blemishes because this lamb represents Jesus Christ. Okay, so examine. The hair too long? Okay, can't, acceptable. Okay, acceptable. And then the priest will pass me, all the while he doesn't look at me. Remember this, when you come to God, when you come to God, God is not asking, how good are you? God is asking, how good is your lamb? Okay, so if it's good, he has a knife, by the way. He says good, he gives me the knife. This is what they do in those days. You'll find about this, you read about this on Yom Kippur, which is a Hebrew way of saying the Day of Atonement. Amen. You find this also, Day of Atonement is done by the priest, but every other day is done by the person who comes to bring the lamb. This is what he does. He must know that his sins caused the death of the lamb. Okay, now before I heal, I forgot one more thing. Must lay hands. Okay, now this, can I touch your hair? Serious business with him, okay? All right, so this is what we do. The offerer, I am the offerer, all right, representing you and I lay hands on him. Now watch this, all my sins, this is a picture of identification. Laying hands is a picture of identification, amen? When I do this, that means in the eyes of God, all my sins are now transferred, like transferred. Just imagine something dark and sinful and all the my filth and all that, all transferred to him, plus my diseases, transferred. Okay? Now, the lamb that is without blemish, without imperfection, is now blemish. Not in blemish, not in himself, but because of my sins. He's bearing my sins. Do you understand? He's carrying my sins. Then the priest will pass me the knife, and this is what happens. I kill the lamb. Because this is a picture of, we must know that when Jesus died on the cross, it is our sins that he bore. He died for us. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. A bell is not a bell till you ring it. A song is not a song till you sing it. Love is not love until you give it. Amen? Love gives. God so loved the world that he gave his son. And God gave his son when the world don't care about him, when the world was rebelling against him, God gave his son. Amen? And this is what we say to God in essence. Now, this is what we think of your son. We took him and we put him on the cross. Amen? And God used the cross as the means. That was his plan all the while. That Jesus will become the Lamb of God. Okay? So all these sacrificial lambs, they can only cover sin like your credit card. Okay, listen. Be the young people. Your credit card is not a payment. All right? You got to tell your teenagers that if they have a credit card. It is not a payment. Your credit card is not a payment. Some of you need to cut your credit cards. If you're, you know, credit card's not payment. It is actually like the lamb. This lamb is waiting for the final payment. Amen. So this lamb carries my sin. It's like sin is covered. Every year sin is covered. Every year sin is covered in Israel. Every year sin is covered. Sin is covered. That's our Old Testament in the Bible. Sin is covered. Until one day, a young Jewish rabbi, amen, the son of a carpenter, at least they thought, but he's the son of God. He came so humble. God could have chosen a palace for Jesus to be born in, but he chose the smelly manger. with all the bleeding of the lamb and the ox, and there he was born. And 30 years after that, he was a young man. And he came by the river Jordan in Israel. And John the Baptist saw him and said, "Behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So now, it's not just covered. It is taken away. Right, ladies? It's not just sweeping under the carpet. One day the day come, lift the carpet, vacuum everything. Amen. Now it's no more covered. Your sin is no more covered. Your sin is taken away by the blood of Jesus, because He is the final payment. He is the true Lamb of God. Amen. So I take the knife and I kill him. I love the way he... You're messing your hair, bro. Okay, so the lamb is taken and put on the altar, okay, on the altar where it burns. The altar has four corners representing the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen? And when Jesus died on the cross, the altar of all altars, the final altar, the final payment. God doesn't want any more payment for sin because Jesus' one is perfect. Amen? When Jesus Christ finished, it was completely finished. And for this lamb right now, he's no longer himself. He's actually me and you, because I laid hands on him, right? So actually, the fire comes on him and burning at the altar. The fire represents God's judgment. In the Old Testament, you know, when fire comes on someone, that means not only that he's fired from his job, that means he's under God's judgment, all right, in the Old Testament. So today, there's no more fire from God. You know why? Because at the cross, Jesus consumed all of God's fiery judgment in his own body for you and I. And God designed it to be so, so that his righteousness, that part of him, that righteous nature of God is satisfied because there has been a payment. The wages of sin is death. Jesus took your death and my death. Jesus took your punishment and my punishment. This is not religion. This is reality. This is relationship with the God of heaven and earth. This is love. Now, the judgment is consuming my sacrifice and I walk away a free man. Not only that, I walk away with something I never had. When I came, I was a sinner. Under God's judgment, amen, things were going bad in my life. My crop was failing. You know, I was getting sick all the time. There's no blessing in my life. Amen. Because the Bible says, I'll show them Proverbs real quick. The blessings are on the head of the righteous somewhere. All right. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. Say blessings. Blessings. Are on my head. Thank God I have a big head. Tua tau. Amen. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. It's expression of blessings, and blessings will come on you when you are the righteous. Now, this is what God did. Today, those who believe on Christ, in the eyes of God, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. So, I came just now, bringing the lamb under God's curse, under God's judgment. And my life is depressed. Amen. I'm introspective. I'm seeing all kinds of terrible things in myself. Amen. And my life is so, you know, so frustrating. I don't call this a good life. I may have plenty of money, amen, but I'm a rich, poor man. I'm a poor man with plenty of money, amen. Now watch this. After the sacrifice is being consumed, I walk away. Now I walk away different. I walk away, he took my place, I take his place now. Now the blessings of God shine on me. The sunlight of God's favor shines on me. Everywhere I go, amen, I find that favor abounds. I have favor with God and with men. I find the blessings of God abound in my life. Best of all, there's peace in my heart. Amen. Amen. Peace with God. Amen. Which translates to peace of mind, peace of soul. Can I have a good amen? 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 So praise the Lord. You walk away different than when you first came. Why? The transfer took place. Amen. All right. Give him a good hand. Thank you very much. Praise the Lord. Okay? So friend, the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law says, if you're a sinner, and leprosy, those days they had people who are lepers, you know, they are white all over and they have patches and all that. And people with leprosy, you cannot touch them or else you become unclean. So that's the law of Moses. The law of Moses is that sin, uncleanness is more powerful. Sin, uncleanness can contaminate you. Everyone in this world is under sin, and sin is rampant, right? So who will be a champion? Who will be the avenger against sin? Who will be the one that can overcome all this for us? Jesus came. Amen. Amen? Now watch this. When Jesus met the leper, he preached the Sermon on the Mount. And I was just there last month, the very spot where he preached the Sermon on the Mount. A number of years ago, I was at the same spot where he preached the Sermon on the Mount, that very area. Right now, there's a banana plantation down there. The mountain is still there. And one of those huge rocks is where I believe Jesus sat on. And after he preached the Sermon on the Mount, the Bible says he went the other way. And the crowds followed him. So I was going the other way. I left my pastors there for a while. I went the other way. And then I saw there were some huge rocks here and there. Then I thought to myself, the Bible says right after this instance of preaching to the crowd, a leper who was probably hiding, came out from hiding and met Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. The Bible says, Jesus says, I am willing. Every one of you, listen. You come to Jesus and you say, Lord, I am unclean, but you can make me clean. I am diseased. You can set me free. Lord, I am depressed, but you can give me your peace. Whatever it is, he will never let you go off saying, today I'm not in a good mood. It is always, I am willing. People always wonder, they know God has the power. So the leper didn't ask, if you have the power. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus says, listen to these words, I am willing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus touched the leper. Now watch this. Under law, you touch the leper, you become unclean. But here, the unclean became clean. It's reversed. Amen. Which means Jesus' grace is greater than all our sins. Amen. Are you listening or not? Right, don't be so shocked with your sin. Don't be so shocked with your whatever you see in yourself. Jesus' grace is greater. It will overwhelm it. Amen. And for the final one, and then I'll close, sit back and watch this scene that we did because of what I saw down there. I came back and I asked my team to come up with this beautiful video. It's going to touch your heart. It's going to speak to you. And you know something? All of us are like the leper with our sin, because leprosy is a picture of sin on us. And Jesus came a long way to find us. Amen. Sit back, enjoy.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, much more clothe you, O you of little faith. And the rain rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean.
I am willing. Be cleansed.
The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're not talking about, you know, a religion. Christianity should never be made into a religion. Amen. It is grace and truth. It is a relationship. Amen. This is God reaching out to you, not man trying to keep the Ten Commandments, man trying his best, man doing this, man doing... No, no, it's God coming down and declaring his love for us. Amen. Dying for our sins. God cannot just forgive without payment. Amen. Or else he's not right. Like a judge cannot just presumptuously let a prison or a criminal free unless there's a payment. Amen. Usually he pays for it with time. You do the crime, you do the time, right? But Jesus took our place, died in our place. And today we celebrate resurrection because he rose from the dead. And the Bible says in Romans 4, and I'll close with this, it says that Jesus was delivered. Look at the last part. Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses, our sins. But he was raised up, why? Because of our being declared righteous. Whoa, did you hear that? Why was Jesus delivered to the cross? Because of our offenses, our sins against God, against the holy God. Amen? But why was Jesus raised from the dead? Because we were declared righteous. By whom? By God. In other words, Jesus' resurrection means you are acquitted. You are righteous. How do you know a prisoner has fulfilled his obligations, all right, to the law? How? By him coming out. Amen? He has paid for it. So Jesus came out of the grave bodily, and God declared us righteous. That's why God raised Jesus from the dead. God didn't raise Jesus because he is God's son. He always is that. But God raised Jesus because we were declared righteous. Because the same body that carried your sins and mine at the cross 3 days ago now rose from the dead without our sins. What does that mean? That means God is satisfied with what he did. God accepts it. And God imputes righteousness to you. If you believe on him, God declares you righteous. And all the blessings of the righteous will come on your head. Amen. Praise the Lord. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But just like back to the choice thing, you got to choose to believe. Amen. Only those who believe. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believe. Don't try to reason. Believe. Don't try to put in your own effort to be your own savior. Amen. Don't grow old and die and miss the very essence of what life is all about. is a gift from God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Remember this, there's an enemy out there called Satan, the devil. And he's the one behind all the world's sorrows. Because one day, this earth, by the way, there's another message. Keep on coming. I'll be preaching. Amen. Why there's so much mess in this earth. Amen? It's not God's doing. God gave the earth to man, and man gave the earth to the devil. So the devil's lease is running out, by the way. Amen? God never made earth with earthquakes and all kinds of tsunamis and things like that. Even the disease and all that. You all heard just now, it came because of sin. But there's another message altogether. But just suffice to say this. Jesus says the thief, that is your enemy, the devil, he comes to steal, kill, destroy. But Jesus says, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Amen? So I don't offer you a dead Christ. I offer you a living Christ. Amen. He's alive today and he loves you. Amen? Thank you, Lord Jesus. All across this place and everywhere that's watching this right now, if you put your trust in Christ, it's a matter of decision. You say, Pastor, I believe it. Father God, I believe your word and I believe that you love me. And I believe you gave your son to die for me. If that is you, wherever you are right now, pray this prayer with me right now from your heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your gift, the greatest gift of all, your son, Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for my sins, took all my judgment, my condemnation upon himself, and finish it all. There's no more judgment from you in my life. No more condemnation. From now on, I thank you that you see me in Christ as if I'm Jesus, and you bless me accordingly. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, and you raised him from the dead because you declared me righteous, acquitted. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Stand to your feet. I'm going to dismiss you with the blessings of God and the protection of God. You know, we do this in our church every week. We dismiss people with the blessings of God because prayer is not just to soothe you. It is really to position, even cause events to go into motion for this week, to put you at the right place at the right time. In the world we live in today, our smarts is not enough. Only God can put us at the right place at the right time. Amen. Amen. I'm going to pray that for you, and God protect you and your family from harm and danger. Amen. Lift your hands all across this place. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, because we are righteous in your eyes. All the prayers of the people here, when they pray, you hear. Amen. It's the prayers, the effectual, fervent prayers of a righteous man that avails. Thank you, Father. And right now, in the name of Jesus, the Lord bless you and your families this coming week. The Lord bless you with the blessings of Father Abraham. The Lord bless you, all that you touch, prosper. The Lord protect you from every harm, you and your loved ones, from every danger, from every sickness, from all the power of the evil one, through the blood of his son, through that blood that has remitted your sins, through that same blood, you have divine protection. I confess that and I declare that over you and your families. You will see good days ahead of you. The Lord lift up his countenance and grant to you and your loved ones his shalom peace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Keep coming again, all right? We look forward to have you in the church. It's a blessed time. You always leave with this kind of wonderful, pump up, fired up feeling, amen? God bless you. Love you.
If you have just prayed the prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we want to welcome you to a new life filled with the goodness and abundant grace of Jesus. To help you begin this journey, we would like to bless you with an ebook titled The One Thing, 31-Day Devotional by Pastor Joseph Prince. Receive daily bite-sized inspirations of the favor, healing, and provision that God has for you. Simply log on to josephprince.org/salvation and download your free copy today. Get ready to experience the amazing love of God.
The reason why no evil befalls you, the reason why no plague comes near your family is because he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways.
Get your copy of Activate Your Angels, Experiencing Divine Protection as a thank you for your gift of any amount to the ministry today. In this two-sermon audio series, discover how you can live unafraid. See how God wants you to leave home every day confident that you are completely protected. Request your copy today, and you will also receive a free bonus 2020 wall calendar. And for a specific gift to the ministry, you will also receive this exclusively curated gift set that includes an essential Bible study kit, as well as Joseph's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health. Get ready to dive deeper into the Word with Joseph in this exciting revelation-packed study kit. This kit includes many valuable resources that will help you access, apply, and activate God's 24/7 protection. Start each day anchored in God's promises of protection for you and your loved ones. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Get your copy now at josephprince.org or call us toll-free at 877-901-4300.
For centuries, man has tried to get healthier, get stronger, and live his best life by changing what he eats.
What if I told you there was an all-natural plant-derived oil?
There is a food trend quietly sweeping the country, changing our outlook on what we eat.
But how can we tell truth from trend? In Joseph's latest book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, you'll discover how the Holy Communion releases the health-giving power of the Lord's finished work into your body every time you partake.
My friend, the world can offer diet plans and nutrition tips, and I'm all for eating well and exercising. But the Holy Communion is so much more than that. It's not just another diet plan. It is the very power of the Lord's finished work released into our bodies every time we partake. Ever since I started preaching strongly on the communion about 20 years ago, people from all over the world have written to me to share their healing testimonies. An elderly man suffering from Alzheimer's disease, with no hope of recovery, was completely healed. The Lord restored his mind through the Holy Communion, and his wife is overjoyed to have him back. Another brother wrote in to share that through the partaking of the communion, his youngest son, who had a 17-degree curve in his spine, was completely healed. Latest x-rays show no trace of the scoliosis he used to have, and his spine is now completely straight. These are just two of the many testimonies that I share in this book, including my own. I want to invite you on this journey. As you partake of the Holy Communion, I pray that you will experience the Lord's healing and restoration more and more. God bless you.
Joseph Prince's brand new book, Eat Your Way to Life and Health, is now available. Call us toll-free at 877-901-4300 or visit josephprince.org/new book today.
My first husband, we found cancer, and he passed away within 8 weeks of us finding that out. And my daughter at the time was about 6 months old, and when he passed away, she was 9 months old. Pastor Prince talks about 120% restoration in life, and God restoring what he didn't take away, and that's absolutely what happened in my life. God was good, and I didn't know what was going to happen, and really from that, he returned to me and restored in my life family and father for my daughter, and I mean, a happiness I've never known.
Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us.